Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. Action SA has some concerns. On the line with us is Ethel Trollope, who's Action SA's chief whip. Good evening and welcome, Mr. Trollope, and thank you so much for being with us.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you so much for being with us. Good evening, and thank you for your patience as well. You have raised some concerns with regards to the seventh administration. You would like the president to consider a few things. You're saying South Africans are sick and tired of waiting. We need to get on with the business of the day. You've also raised questions about the size of cabinet that he must consider.
Yeah, absolutely. I was also just listening to your previous guest saying that, you know, he wants to call for a convention and for the president to bring all the parties together. We don't agree with that at all. There's a constitutional provision that allows the president to select his cabinet. It cannot be done through a convention. And we want the president to get ahead with the job. And clearly he's being held back by some demands from the many parties that are now involved in the Grand Coalition. It's not a government of national unity, just for clarity. So let's call it what it is. And each party that has joined this coalition wants something out of it. And what's been really interesting is many of the parties that were calling for smaller cabinet, less ministers, less deputy ministers, cost savings, all the parties that are making demands for such positions. And we're saying that it's time to put South Africans first, pick a cabinet of competent, capable people that can get the job done, and let's start doing the job. And that's what our appeal to the president is, and our appeal to the other parties to stop bickering over parochial self-interest and put South Africa first, and let's get to work.
So the size of cabinet, he had promised that he's going to look at that before the elections. How, just maybe your sense of what actually he should be doing. How should he bring this cabinet down?
Well, look, we have one of the biggest cabinets in the whole world, and we're certainly not one of the biggest countries in the whole world. We're quite a medium-sized to small-sized country. So let me use an example. The second biggest party in this new coalition is the Democratic Alliance. And up until very recently, Action SA was involved in the multi-party charter. And in the multi-party charter, with the Democratic Alliance and the Freedom Front Plus and the IFP and the ACDP and a number of other political parties, we agreed that cabinet should be no bigger than 18 to 20 ministers with no deputy ministers. And now I'm interested to see many of these parties clamoring for minister positions and deputy minister positions and wanting to appoint the directors general in their departments, which, you know, sounds pretty much like hated deployment to me. So what we're saying is that it costs South Africa about 155 million rand a year for the fast cabinet of 30 cabinet ministers and 36 deputy ministers. That's just in salaries alone. Then you've got to add housing, VIP protection, transportation, cars in different cities, houses in different cities, departments, departmental heads, political support staff. It runs into billions of rands, the size of our cabinet, and we just cannot afford that. We need to start using money more effectively, and we need to start developing and rebuilding our international reputation, or else we'll never be able to attract investment into this country. So we are saying that investors want to see our president and government making decisions that are going to grow the economy and put South Africans first and not put political parties and their leaders first.
Mm. So, I mean, let's call it what it is. The leaked letter that everybody's talking about, where there were specifications of DGs and deputy ministries and the number of ministries they want to look at, is the DA. And that's the party that actually set up the multi-party coalition. And so you're saying that you're surprised that now they have these things that they're putting forward in this GNU, and yet they were very willing to let go of deputy ministries.
Absolutely, we're surprised. But, you know, we're not surprised with the tactics. I mean, it's not only the DA letter that's been leaked. There have been letters from the Secretary General of the ANC that have been leaked into public. These are
No, that's not what I said. I meant the specifications of the demands of the...
Yes,
that's what I'm referring to.
I got you. All I was just saying is that this is a strategic leveraging of the negotiating process.
Okay.
What we are surprised at is that there are parties that were in the multi-party charter until very recently that were saying reduce the cabinet size to 18 to 20 ministers with no deputy ministers, but now they're wanting ministerial positions and they want deputy ministers. And, you know, there was Gayton McKenzie who made it very clear that he was joining this coalition to get a position and power, and he says he wants either the police ministry or the home affairs ministry. And they're all saying they want to make an influence, but it is about positions, power, and patronage. And that is what is sad about where our politics is going. It's not about putting South Africa first. It's about parochial interests.
So what do we do now? Just maybe, Mr. Trollope, the 18 ministries, had you gone into details as the multi-party charter that, you know, this is what you'd like to put together? Had that work been done?
Yeah, quite a lot of work was be done. Let me give you one example because I haven't got time to go through all 18. But let's look at one example. We've got currently in the past administration, we had two ministers of education.
Yes.
One for basic education and one for higher education. Yeah. Both of them had been ministers for nearly 15 years. Their departments are appallingly run. The standard of education is declining rapidly and alarmingly. The matric pass rates at schools now 30%. And we've seen NSFAS funding disappearing in its billions. Mm. And we've got students at universities that don't have funding, that qualify for funding. They're being put out of their residences. They don't have food. They can't get to lectures. They can't study. Yet the ministers are still there. And they both happen to have deputy ministers. And we in the multi-party charter during our negotiations said there should be one Department of Education. And Action SA believes that that would be a much better option because you have seamless authority and leadership over education from early childhood development to your end of tertiary education. Mm-hmm. You have one minister dealing with all those issues. Mm-hmm. You have seamless continuity and you could save a whole lot of money and you could make it much more efficient rather than having two incompetent ministers with incompetent deputy ministers.
Mm-hmm. And what would you do with minerals and energy? Would that still stay together?
Yeah, I think they go together. But the biggest solution to this ministerial dilemma is that you must appoint competent, capable, professional, qualified people into ministries. You know, if you can't, you cannot be a minister of health if you've never studied health or don't understand how a hospital, public hospital works, or a clinic, or even how medicine works. You can't be a minister of agriculture if you've never studied agriculture and you've never planted a seed in the ground or helped an animal give birth or raised livestock, or, you know, you've got to have an intimate, innate understanding of a department. And our problem in South Africa is that we appoint party hacks to become ministers of really important portfolios, like growing the economy, our agriculture, minerals and energy. You need people that have got a qualification. The worst example, and perhaps the best one to use right now, is recent Ministry of Police, where Bheki Cele has now, you know, resigned. He's no longer coming back to Parliament. But he really was one, made a commissioner of police, and he made himself a general. He'd never, ever served in the police force. That was, you know, alarming. And then he became the Minister of Police, and he was a shocking Minister of Police. And we need a professional police person or somebody who is criminal legal background to become a minister. So we are saying in Action SA is that parties must start recruiting competent, capable people with the prerequisite experience to serve in portfolios and not simply appoint people because they say you need my two votes to get you past 50%. Therefore, I demand that you give me a ministerial position. That's what you call, you know, the politics of the stomach or transactional politics, and we've seen how crucially bad it has been at local government level, where you get a party with two seats in the Johannesburg City Council demanding that they made the mayor. I mean, it's just simply untenable.
Well, it would have to be more than that, Mr. Trollope, not because Angie Motshekga was a teacher, had a long history as a teacher. You've just made mention of her as an example that, you know, her department has not been doing well. So it would have to
but
be
she
more
was
than
bad.
That's what I'm saying. It would have to be more than the qualifications of that particular ministry.
Well, look, I think that happens in life. It happens in the private sector. It happens in the public sector. You get somebody, and on the strength of their CV, you appoint them, and they're either good or bad. And if they're bad, they must go. You can't keep them for 15 years. And that's what's been the problem. It's the Achilles heel of our performance of ministers in politics in South Africa is that because they're a cadre, because they hold high office in the party, they die in the traces, or they stay there, they overstay their welcome, and their departments don't perform. So they've got to be performance agreements, and the ministers must perform.
So we're here now. We don't have a cabinet. You are concerned about that. What then does Action SA do beyond calling for them to actually get on with it and do something?
Well, you know, we've got a role to play. We've got to wait for the president to announce his cabinet. Then we will look at that cabinet and we'll comment on it. But we're not just here as a commentariat. We will hold them to account to what they're doing in their departments. And we've also recently had a meeting with the ANC to say, listen, we're going to be a constructive opposition. We are not joining the GNU. We're not part of the so-called progressive caucus. It's actually a regressive caucus. It's a misnomer to call them a progressive caucus. We're slap bang in between, in the middle of those two big blocks in parliament. And that makes us ideally situated to be independent, critical, constructive opposition, and that's the role we're going to play. We're saying, let this new coalition do their job. They've started this relationship. They must consummate the relationship, and they must get to work. The sooner the better.
Mr. Trollope, I mean, you've just mentioned the fact that you are smack bam in the middle of the Progressive Caucus and then the GNU that's still trying to get its act together. Have you been having conversations with others, like-minded political parties, to form your own caucus, even as you sit as an opposition formation?
Yes, we have. And, you know, some of them have run off and joined the government of national unity. So some of those discussions were moot. But that doesn't stop us. We'll continue to look for other political parties where there's common ground, even now as we start looking at portfolio committees. And we can only do that in Parliament once we know how many ministries there are. We have reached out to other political parties about making sure that the opposition parties that are still in opposition, there are very few now that are in opposition, that we have representation in all the major caucuses, because small parties that have limited representation obviously can't serve in all the committees. So we're going to be talking strategically about making sure that when we allocate members to portfolio committees that the smaller parties are represented either by their own members or members that are aligned to each other. And I think that that's the process of building relations over the next 5 years. Some of the new parties, our own included, five of my six members have never been to Parliament before. I have been in Parliament, so I'm the only one with experience. We'll have to build relations, and we'll have to find where these other members and their parties stand on crucial issues in the portfolio committees, because that's where Parliament really does its work. You know, Parliament doesn't really do much work in the plenary there. It's about showboating and debating and one-upmanship and brinkmanship. But in the portfolio committees, it's about where the real work gets done, about the issues that affect South Africans in those particular portfolios. And that's where we will build relations and find commonality with other political parties and build alignments.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Ethel Trollope is Action SA's Chief Whip. Thank you very much for making time for us. Very happy to hear from you. 086-000-00959. Your take on all of this. You can see political parties maneuvering. So what has been really interesting today is the conversation we're hearing from political parties that have chosen not to be part of the Government of National Unity. But you can definitely tell they are agitated now. They feel left out. They want to be part of the party. It's too late now, because that window has now shut. You know, the ANC said there is a point where we're going to close this this particular window of opportunity, and they did, and nobody can come in. I found it really interesting that Bosa leader Musima Manu was saying, no, we were still engaged, we are still considering. I'm not sure if their considerations mean anything at the moment, because that door has now been shut. They no longer are talking to political parties. They will, after forming a government, have a lekgotla where they invite civil society. Everybody who can come to that particular party can come in. They are saying that they will have an open door. They will discuss everything. And that's where people like Bosa can come in and have their say. But as far as putting together government, they definitely, I don't think they're going to be entertaining any outsiders as things stand. So as we look forward to the formation of cabinet, we all wait and see. 086 000 00959. Sifudi in Ramfontein, good evening and welcome. That is Sifudi. Sifudi, good evening and welcome.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you?
We are gobsmacked. We are on tenterhooks.
Yes, we are on tenterhooks, yes.
We were not ready. I think politicians were not ready for this election outcome. And I'd like to warn those who are outside, this train is leaving them, you know. And they cannot influence the process while they are outside. And these people, they can see these people amongst politicians, South Pimelo, there's no principle, only interest. Mm. It's what I can get. But what I'd like to ask these politicians, are they aware of the patience that is spinning off of the people who are suffering from poverty, who are suffering from unemployment, who don't know where the next meal, South Pimelo, is going to come from. And the patience of people is spinning out. And until these politicians smell the coffee and do the right thing, their credibility is going to be messed up. And the country is waiting. We are waiting. They promised their manifestos. They gave these manifestos. To me, South Pimelo, it's what are they prepared to give in for the sake of the country, for the sake of South Africa? Can they once in a moment be patriots and forget about their sectional interest and look around what's happening amongst them, where people are aching out a living, where people are? I'm from Joburg today.
Yeah,
it's bad.
You know, you mentioned that, Ntate Sifudi, and I was going to ask you, because many may not know, you're an activist in your own right. You have protested many times for healthcare workers and people in your community on electricity and many, many things. The sense you get on the ground, you know, we speak to these politicians. How impatient are people getting with this delay that we are seeing right now?
South Pimelo, politicians are not getting it. There's a powder keg that's about to explode in this country. And these politicians, I wonder how are they going? Do they have fire extinguishers to quell that fire? Because, you know, Pimelo, if people of Pimelo have got nothing to defend, those people are the most dangerous. They've got nothing. And they are going to eat these politicians alive because they admire them with jealousy. These people know. Look at their salaries, South Pimelo. Look at their allowances. Look at amidst this poverty. They are surrounded by this desperation, despondency. That is bedeviling this society. And these politicians don't show a sense of agency. They are so relaxed. They talk about positions. I wouldn't care about position of Pimelo. If I'm a political party, I said, I'll play an oversight role and check that nobody goes to the cookie jar, got the key.
Except that Ntate Sifudi, you wouldn't be getting the blue lights. You would not be getting the package. So actually, you know, that's maybe very important to other people.
Yeah, no, it's important to them, but is the question that we must ask, South Pimelo, is this sustainable?
That's a very
Are they going to sustain this?
Yeah.
When are they going to turn this country away from the precipice? Because these people, no army is going to stop these people. I was in Randburg today. The desperation, people aching out for, begging out for what they can get from us. I'm not a rich person, but I had to pass with 50 rand on Pimelo for somebody at least to have something. I don't have money because I imagine this, and I try to put myself in the boots of this person who told me that for 3 days he hasn't eaten anything.
That is
now imagine 3,000 people talking the same language as Pimelo. The desperation, the despondency. We are in trouble, and they ought to understand coalitions in their nature are unstable. We can stay in this quagmire and Pimelo for more than 6 months, like it's happening in Belgium, like it's happening in Italy, like it's happening in the European countries. And they should have done a blueprint to be ready for this on how they should amidst this uncertainty, how are they going to move this country forward? What is the plan, Pimelo, concerning the economy? Concerning the fixing of our infrastructure, concerning to jumpstart this country and put it on the right footing whereby everybody can have a place in under the sun. That's what we are asking about these politicians. They cannot campaign and give promises and not deliver and dilly-dally amongst themselves. Time is running out, Pimelo. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Ntate Sifudi. Bongani in Soweto, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo, and good evening to the listeners, wherever they are.
Yes.
Pimelo, my take on this one is that it's unfortunate part that people who will be suffering on this thing are the poorest, whereby in the lower class, mostly. And why I'm saying that is because of, remember that in 1981, the GNU was there during the Congress with Mandela, the former president,
yes.
Nelson Mandela, may his soul rest in peace, was there. However, there was a plan on table, of which they tabled that in regards to how are they going to functionalize this GNU. And with regard to this one, you can see that the DA is not coming in terms of uniting and taking South Africa forward, but it's coming with the intentions of dealing with ANC with regard to the portfolios that they need from the ANC, you know, from the government, actually. So in anything that they do, one thing they told themselves, apart from the discussion that they had with regard to the government of the ANC, is that we're going to deal with ANC come to this coalition. And one more thing, if you can see, you look at the list of the portfolios that they said we need this preference of portfolios, that
yes.
There are reasons why they chose them. And with regard to that as well, is that one of them is that, one, you should understand that with regards to the Israel and the Palestine, DA is going along with the Israel, and it's going to oppose ANC with whatever that the ANC fought for. And the portfolio that they choose, they know very well that by choosing that portfolio, this is one of the elements that we're going to use to deal with ANC. So portfolios are straightforward. They're giving you the intention of the DA. So DA is not there to build South Africa and moving it forward.
So then what must happen? Because this government of national unity, as you can see, you know, it seems like it's built on the basis of a relationship between the ANC and the DA.
I'm not quite certain if I might say ANC has shot itself with a bullet on foot. But then initially was supposed to check, firstly, what DA are you coming with regard to the agreement of the coalition for this one. And these other parties, what is your intention should you join us? And then they weigh the situation amongst themselves and say, okay, this is the response we get from this party, and this is the response that we get from this party. And now they decide based on that one. And they also think of their people of which they have voted for them. But with DA, is to go back to the table and say, guys, we know that you choosing these portfolios, and this is your preference and stuff, but based on the number of percentage that we are having, this is what we're coming on table. ANC shouldn't just admit and surrender and say, oh, okay, because the A, white monopoly capital party, then we should agree on that. No, they have a strong voice because of they are carrying the most percentage of the governance more than the DA. DA is just to say, we are proposing this, not demanding this.
Well, that's definitely not the tone. So, you know, at the point when they don't agree, what should be happening?
Then let's go back to the drawing board and say, okay, right, DA, if we have already signed this or if we haven't signed this, then let's look at the other parties. It seems like we don't agree. And then we can't go to the same bed where else we have fights. Then it simply means, let me go and buy the new bed from another store.
Bongani, thanks. Appreciate your call. Let me buy a new bed. I like that, Bongani in Soweto. Listen, I'm very happy to continue taking your calls on 086-000-0959. Those voice notes will be coming through on 063-688-0959. I've also been looking at your tweets as well. In fact, I'll read them as soon as I come back. But you can send those tweets at Kaya on air, and you can tag me at Pimelo Mudine.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.